continue our discussion, is this on? We're going to continue our discussion on the virtual time for CMV. We're going to discuss so we are at the tail end of the seventh section. We started discussing 5-half, and then in the discussion of 5-half, permanent ecstasy in children. The discussion is 5-half of permanent ecstasy. We saw how there were 7 secondary havas. And these secondary havas, they are humor, astonishment, fortitude, lamentation, anger, fear, disgust, or hatred. These are the 7. And these can take over sometimes. So that the primary gati or the relationship between the devotee and Krishna becomes overshadowed by these, one of these 7. So that's what we saw last time. So today we'll look at some examples of these, maybe a couple of them. And then Rupa Goswami takes us into a recap of what we've done so far. And this recap ends with the discussion, we segue into the concept of the rasa, bhakti rasa, and then the final section begins, which will describe the different rasas and the experience of ecstasy. So the primary rati, which does not leave the devotee, is the sthaibha, up into the sthaibha. This is present in all types of devotees. And without that continuous sthaibha, all other bhavas, such as hasa, are dysfunctional. So you have to have a relationship with Krishna in the first place, a realization of your own swarupa, or what type of devotee you are, and what your relationship with Krishna is. And then all the, there is a question, then you can talk about secondary bhavas, and vibhavas, and vibhavas. If the primary bhavas, rati, high bhavas, not there, then. Yeah. Okay, so though the secondary bhavas become high bhavas, can become sthai bhavas in the enemies of Krishna, these are not suitable for bhakti rasa. So this is called rati abhas. Since they are without the primary rati, so Kamsa, for example, has a bhava of krodha, but because he doesn't have a relationship with Krishna, then that krodha is not counted as bhakti, as you've seen, and therefore it's not, cannot produce a bhakti rasa without that primary attraction to Krishna. When these 7 secondary emotions, one of them arises from actions related to Krishna, then the primary rati is subdued. And this secondary emotion becomes the rati, becomes the hasa rati, for example, if it's laughter. So here's an example of that. Krishna is saying, "Oh beautiful woman," to a gopi, "I swear to you that I have not even looked at the yogurt, but your bold friend is sniffing my mouth in vain. Give instructions to your friend so that she does not accuse innocent persons like me." So when the gopi servant heard these words, she could not restrain her laughter. She started laughing. And so this would be an example of hasarati. Jiva Goswami comments on this, and Vishwanath Chakravarti comments differently on it. Jiva Goswami says, "Bringing yogurt to the forest on the pretext of performing worship of the devatas, the gopis were moving about here and there in order to pick flowers. Krishna was carrying on an exchange with one gopi who was assigned to safeguard the yogurt alone by staying next to it. Suddenly one coy gopi appeared and began sniffing Krishna's mouth to see if he had eaten the yogurt." Krishna refers to her in this verse. So this will be, this is the context. We should have to put it in a different context. And I didn't, both are happening, but I didn't produce this different context, but I should have. So anyway, I'll tell you from memory. So Vishnu Chakravarti is saying that Srimati Radharani and Krishna are alone in Radharani's house. When Jatila walks in and she sees them together, and she becomes very angry. So Krishna pretends that he was sniffing Radharani's mouth. Sorry, Krishna pretends that Radharani was sniffing his mouth to see if he had eaten yogurt. And so he, you know, to fool Jatila, I get a message that I should speak louder. Somebody go to in DC. Can we turn up the microphone volume? I will try to speak closer into the microphone. Thank you for the message, Swaha Mataji. So I was saying that there is Hasarati where the gopi starts to laugh because of Krishna's pretense, show, drama. And Vishnu Chaturvedi is saying that Krishna, when he sees Jatila walk in, when he is alone with Radharani, he pretends that Radharani was just sniffing his mouth to see if he had eaten yogurt. And he's angry, he, you know, angrily pretends, she shouldn't be doing this, I am innocent, and so on. So seeing this, another, with the gopi messenger in that house, she started to laugh. So this is the second example Vishnu Chaturvedi Thakur gives in addition to Jiva Goswami. Because everybody knows what's really going on. So, another example, Utsaharati. Utsaha is the enthusiasm to fight with Krishna, for example. So this is Sri Rama. When the air resounded with the sound of the flute, horn and blades of grass on the bank of the Yamuna, Sri Ram, desiring to fight with Krishna, began roaring and bound up his waist firmly. So this is an example of Utsaharati. It's a temporary thing because Sri Rama is Krishna's friend, close friend. But when he is desiring to fight with Krishna, he begins to roar and he is bound up in that Utsaharati. And that becomes the primary agati of close friendship becomes overshadowed by this Utsaharati in Sri Rama. But the point to note here is that this is all favorable to Krishna. This is bhakti because Krishna enjoys fighting with Sri Rama in that way. Play fighting, play acting. Shokarati, and today we'll cover some of these points that Pranagavinda Prabhu has been making for some time about Shoka. So the example of Shokarati is Mother Yashoda. She's saying, my heart did not become shattered on seeing Krishna, dearer than a thousand lives, bound up by Kaliya. How hard my heart is. So she's lamenting. There is also anger. When Jatila recognized Radha's shining pearl necklace around the throat of Krishna, she frowned ferociously and glanced at Krishna in a terrifying manner. So this is the example of Krodharati, Jatila's anger. Jiva Goswami clarifies, Jatila played the role of the mother-in-law of Radha. Her anger manifests from Rati directed towards Krishna. In attempting to thwart the relationship between her daughter-in-law and Krishna, she acts for the pleasure of Krishna. And thus the anger is not material. This anger of Jatila is not the same as the anger of Kamsa. Because she is acting for the pleasure of Krishna as Krishna's pastimes. And Jiva Goswami is saying this should be understood in other similar instances also. Then Rupa Goswami goes through, he goes back, does a flashback, then flash forward. So this chapter kind of meanders in different directions as Rupa Goswami reminds us of some concepts we have learned, reinforces some of them, and sets us up to transition into Bhakti Rasa. So he says, if they remain independent, then the 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas we have studied, the 8 Ratis mentioned above, these are the 1 primary Rati and 1 of the 7 secondary Ratis, the 8 Sattvika Bhavas, we mentioned these also, we discussed these in some depth. These are the 49 Bhavas or emotional states. These 49 states of mind are completely transcendental to the gunas of matter, Rupa Goswami writes. And these are filled with spiritual bliss, being linked to the appearance of Krishna. However, it may appear as if Some of these states, such as garva, pride, harsha, jubilation, sukti, sleep, and hasya, joking, arise from the mode of passion. And others, such as vishada, despair, dinata, lowness, moha, bewilderment, and shoka, lamentation, arise from the mode of ignorance. So, Rupa Goswami is trying to make the distinction between the emotions experienced by people in Krishna Lila from the emotions in the material world. Jiva Goswami writes, and I reproduce this in its entirety, I think this is an important topic. The meaning of the verses is as follows. Because they are filled with the presence of Krishna, these bhavas are filled with spiritual happiness. And because even vishada and other sorrowful emotions are related to Krishna, they should be said to be filled with happiness. So sorrow is filled with happiness. The appearance of bhavas which involve sorrow arise through thinking that one will not attain Krishna. However, the cause of that sorrow is a previous experience of Krishna. It is certain that the devotee's aspiration will be fulfilled and they will attain him. After attaining the Lord, in order to remove selfish thoughts that the Lord belongs to oneself, which may spring from attaining him, and in order to nourish the joy of attaining the Lord, vishada and other sorrowful emotions appear as part of that bliss, just as hunger nourishes enjoyment of food. Such emotions have the appearance of sorrow but are not really sorrow. This state of happiness and sorrow in the devotee appears like happiness in distress which arise from the material gunas in the non-devotee. However, this is not the same. And then Rupa Goswami cites this verse from the 11th canto, 25th chapter. This is verse 24. Absolute knowledge is in the mode of goodness. Knowledge based on duality is in the mode of passion. Foolish materialistic knowledge is in the mode of ignorance. Knowledge based upon me, however, is understood to be transcendental. Rupa Goswami continues, among the bhavas, it would seem that those such as harsha are filled with happiness and others such as vishada are filled with sorrow. But the astonishing fact is that rapi filled with sorrow is considered to be the highest, most intense bliss. So the bliss, even spiritual bliss, even transcendental bliss, there are gradations of bliss, and the rapi that's filled with sorrow is the highest bliss. Not only is it bliss, but it is the highest bliss possible. One would assume, Jiva Goswami writes, that bhavas such as harsha are filled with happiness, and others such as vishada are filled with sorrow. Rati has by its very nature some sorrow, even in vishada means depression.
Highest bliss, feeling it, with suffering is the highest bliss. How? Because revelation, manifestation of their emotional attachment and positiveness. Krishna is mine, but he has been left. It's devastating. Mother Yashoda cries and cries and cries and cries, and she packs her things to go to Mathura to see. But instead of going, even after a few steps, she faints. But in that trance, she is experiencing such an ecstasy and the emotion that comes out. And it pleases Krishna in the heart, and she is also relishing in such an ecstasy. That when Krishna present, she doesn't feel that intensity. Okay? Another thing is, when Radharani feels absence of Krishna, where does she see Krishna? You understand my question? When Radharani misses Krishna, where is Krishna she sees? Everywhere. Everything she sees, just like a mother sees the shoes of the baby, she is not seeing the shoes. Even though she is touching the shoes, she is seeing the baby. Radharani sees Krishna more than one place, one time. Everywhere Krishna. Krishna is this, climbing the tree, he is flower. She sees him in that separation. But when Krishna is present, how many Krishna she sees? So in a great separation, intense disparagement or vishal, like lamenting, she actually enjoys seeing Krishna more and more and more. This is phenomenal. It's very dynamic. It materially is very depressed. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Sotaku says that in this material world, if you miss somebody or you feel separation from someone due to your relationship or attachment, it will eventually drown you more separation, more distress. People say somebody died, you were very close about the cause of his spouse. And you feel separation, you cry and cry, underlining your condition, you developing attachment, unknowingly. And it becomes so intense that at one point you may become suicidal. Because you are so depressed. And if it intensifies that suicidal attitude, you may commit like accident, you know, commit suicide, then what will happen? You get ghost body, very good. In the ghost body what happens? You suffer more. So where is your ending of suffering in the material? It's just the opposite over there. Because there is no, because everything channeling or directing towards Krishna. And Krishna in separation actually manifests in many forms. Krishna, like Nanda Maharaj, could not go outside the house. Why? Uddhava asked Nanda Baba, Baba, you are so absorbed in the house every day. Maybe I should, in his mind he is thinking, you know, generally it's called some psychological treatment in America, like maybe somebody has a very bad news, or some history, or some cancer or something like that. So they take that person to divert their absorption of the disease, always go some farm or something. I saw even in Kenya, people try to do it. In Uddhava's case, he saw Nanda Baba is so absorbed in the house that he is always crying and Mother Yashoda is crying. They hardly can talk each other. Nobody cleaned the floor, nobody cleaned the shelves, nobody cooked anything. The dishes, everything left as it is since Krishna left. Uddhava came after 3 months, Krishna left. So 3 months nobody ate or slept or anything, nothing. So then Uddhava thought, maybe I should take him out so at least he divert his attention. So when he took him outside, he said, then he started crying. He used to walk and stand right there, and he would wait and wait, and one time he would say, Baba, Baba, Pan, means after Nanda Baba threw the betel leaf and betel nuts. There's some taste. It's difficult to understand in the world, but it's in the customer. Then Krishna would stand there just to get the remnants from his father's mouth. And Nanda Maharaj remembered exactly where he would stand. And he would wait for him. And finally Nanda Maharaj had to be right. Krishna would jump after he put in his mouth. He feels so ecstasy. And he would go a little farther, and Krishna would milk the cow here. And Uddhava saw within few minutes, he went outside, he's like rolling on the ground, crying more and more and more. Then Uddhava I'm paying none of my process to her. Then he brought him back in the house. Because going outside reminds of Krishna everywhere, everything he was doing. So in calculation method, that experience that Nanda Baba that was displaying, not intentionally, but it was happening naturally, Uddhava calculated that this ecstasy, because Uddhava had a thoroughly understanding of ecstasy better, that this ecstasy Nanda Baba is experiencing million times more than he ever experienced. This separation. So separation is actually very high compared to any union. In Antalila chapter, 7th chapter, Prabhupada writes about this Krishna's cunningness with the gopis while they are going to serve the fathers. And Krishna purposely put them in the middle of the public room, even though they were public. But in that dialogue, conversation, Radharani's ecstatic, emotional, physically manifested to such an extreme that this pleases Krishna to very highest degree than much more Prabhupada writes than we know in a private room. So this is very difficult. These are bhava-loka. This is the ornament of the Vrajavasi that they literally decorate because they have it and it manifests it and Krishna is this is very, very high. Very high. So, right now I may not understand everything that how sorrow or discouragement or depression is highest than laughing. Whatever is contradictory and whatever is favorable, the Sai Bhagavan rules like a king. You know, king has an enemy and friend, but he has an upper hand. Rules such a way that he always stays above. The Sai Baba actually rallies this. Even though it's so many, very nice point that the secondary emotion, one of the secondary emotions, it appears like become the prominent or main. But who is the relation? That's the question. The through the Sai Baba is relishing, even the Sai Baba is reset in the back. That's very nice. But difficult to grasp it. But then you know what? You try to try your position and then you see. Breakfast today with mother baby. So we're just talking about that. So I was asking him that what is your mindset of knowing the sea? That he here has seen that the mind. This morning we were just having breakfast in the bathroom and he said, while I try to put myself in a position that this could be my last scene. What is the best I can do to offer the Lord? And then a few things that focus. Generally when you see him singing, he doesn't look at much. Close his eyes and then meditate. It was very nice, interesting that what kind of mental setup he has when he sings. It was very nice, he says again, at one point he thinks that I know he's looking at me before and seeing that he is doing. I said, what do you think? But then I go back inside and say, am I trying to please your life? Are you person, and this holy name must appear by the own mercy. I cannot force holy name to manifest. I can only become an instrument. So he put himself, you know, I said, how did you come up with this? He said, well, I had a collection of problems and quotes and all that. So then I put myself in the I'm just going to see whether others are going to be the only one who can be. Surrender. Then he said, yes, then that's going to be things like that. So this, that's very nice. In the beginning, we have to set up like that. We have to open-minded accept that, yes, sorrow is the highest, and laughing is the lowest, or something like that. Difficult for me to understand, but still I have to accept and just go with it, and then eventually you will experience. You follow? If you want to experience now, and then you want to prove it, because it says, Atha Sri Krishna Namati Namavet Gajjami. Seva Unmukhi Jibhaja. My part is Seva Unmukhi. I want to serve. I want to serve. As far as Lord will appear or not, that's not up to you. That's up to you. Svayam Ajami. Svayam means he by his own right. He can. Highest conception of transcendental devotional experience can come down to give us the experience. We cannot force his grace to manifest, or not we can alter by my own intention, if I chant heavy or if I do too much austerity or devotional service, maybe his grace will move. That idea has to be given. So that's what it's all about. So we go on.
So, Jiva Goswami is writing, one would assume that bhavas such as Harsha are filled with happiness, and others such as Vishada are filled with sorrow. Rati has by its very nature some sorrow, even in meeting of the lovers, because there is a predominance of longing due to separation, which causes suffering and worry about separation during meeting, which causes suffering as well. So, I should read that again, that's complicated. But basically, when there is separation, then there is suffering and worry, when are we going to meet? And when you meet, then there is the fear when are we going to get separated? Because that will cause the suffering. So when you meet, you're suffering. And when you don't meet, you're suffering. Both times you're suffering. That's Rupa Goswami saying. But by its very nature.
Did you ever experience when you had a baby? Your child is like a baby. And you have so much attachment that you feel like, I hope nothing happened to you. Even though nothing happened, but do you feel like that? You remember? What about you? You have children. You know what I'm talking? Nothing happened to your child, but your child, you are so much in love, so much attached, and he's playing, running here, and he's thinking, I hope nothing bad happened. Why are you thinking that? Because your possession, he is my child. I have to take care of his mind. Even though nothing bad happened, but you think it. This is the fact. This is the fact. When you have a child, you think like this. You love the child so much, the child is running, boom! You know, Krishna does. It says, Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami Pad says, when Krishna goes from one room to another room, 50 rooms, Nanda Maharaja, every threshold, door threshold, he just boom, bam! And before Mother Yashoda catching him, run! And she doesn't even know whether he got hurt or not, he's just running. She's always like nervous. You think, you become a devotee, you become fearless. And when you become really highest devotee, Mother Yashoda, you become fearless. Not for herself, but for Krishna. It's not for me. It's very funny. Avoidata become always. He can make somebody. Yeah. supposed to be like that. And it's true. But he himself was in fear of religion, in Vrindavan. Always in the mischievous. Difficult to now, in that context, I really beg all of you to meditate something. I was just reading other day that Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur, few slokas. Oba Beti Radham, very sweet. Parama Rasa, Chamatkara Madhurji Suna. He said the four things that only Lord Chaitanya caused to this world. He gave Vrindavan Dham. He gave the first thing what did Rupa Goswami Pad give to Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami Pad. What is the first thing he gave among devotion and bhakti rasa. Bhakti and bhakti rasa. Mahaprabhu did not only give bhakti, he gave bhakti rasa, which you know in Kamasundi. What is that means? That Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur in that verse is summarized. Ko means like a question. Who? Four times he asked that in that sloka. Chaitanya Chandramrita, he is asking this question that amongst all incarnations of Vishnu Tattva, what is the speciality of Krishna? What is the speciality? The speciality is that Vasudev Chaitanya Chaitanya also is from that time, from here, Bhaktivinoda. It is Siddhantastu Abhedavi. Sisha Krishna Sarupala. Siddhanta, we must understand the philosophical truth. The Abhed, there is no difference between any incarnation. And if we see difference, then we commit offense. The Varahaved, even Super Soul. Any incarnation of Vishnu Tattva should be always respected. Siddhantastu Abhedavi. You cannot see there is a difference. Srila Prabhupada translated in Chaitanya Chaitanya that as far transcendental realization goes, there is no difference between any Krishna incarnation and Krishna. So we should be very careful that we never commit offense by thinking, oh, this incarnation is better than this. It is not good. But then next slide, it gives the highest, one of the highest things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give to Rupa Goswami Pada. Is this, that Siddhantastu Abhedavi Sisha Krishna Sarupayo Rasena Utkrishyat Esa Krishna Rupam Rasa Sthiti. As per transcendental mellow, as per personal relationship fulfillment, as per nourishment, as per happiest conception of love exchange between lover and beloved, no incarnation is the abode of all rasa. This is Krishna Rupam Esa Rasa Sthiti. This 12 rasa that we are discussing, the 5 primary and 7 secondary, which incarnation has all 12 complete? Only Krishna. Only Krishna. That was never given before Mahaprabhu came. Formal explanation. Krishna name was there. Padmanabha, Namadhamma, 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 Namadhamma. In that 24 names, Krishna is there also. So there is a Krishna also in Vaikuntha. But that Krishna is not abode of 12 rasas. Vaikuntha Krishna is not. in Vaikuntha also Krishna is there. But when you're talking about Vrajananda, Aradha Bhagavan Vrajeshwatana, it's very clearly Vrajeshwatana, the son of Isha of Vraja, Nanda Maharaja's son. So Nanda Maharaja Vrajeshwatana, Nanda Maharaja's son is the Asha Rasa Sthiti. He is the abode of all 12 rasas. This conception of Bhakti Rasa never be done. That you will be drowned into ecstasy to that extent that all the rasa is highest combination, completely visible. Virajantim, Abhivyaktam, Vrajavasi, Janadhiti, Virajantim. The Mahaprabhu actually this, difference between Krishna and Mahaprabhu, there are many, many differences. One difference is very primary. The Virajantim, Abhivyaktam, Vrajavasi, Janadhiti, that he displayed. Virajanti means like he displayed, demonstrated. Krishna did what? He did not distribute. He did not distribute Krishna friend much. Prabhupada says 5 people. Another time Prabhupada says maybe 35 people. I don't know how he counts like that. But Virajanti Mavivaktam Vrajabhasi Janadishu. So this whole demonstration of this four things, sweetness of his beauty, sweetness of his truth, sweetness of his loving relationship with the Prabhupada. Who displays this? Not Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is the Krishna. That Krishna of Prabhupada is fully manifested in the world. But he was not distributing, he was just relishing and displaying. Whole 12 rasa in ultimate in Vrindavan. For who? For himself also to taste it later as a Lord Chaitanya and for the devotees. That's what we are talking about. So the main difference between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, even though there is no difference, both are. But Krishna did not come to distribute, but he came to demonstrate and display. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute what he displayed and demonstrated. Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most beautiful too, the combination of Radha and Krishna, but Krishna's beauty is unparalleled, also more. So this is very important, that why we are trying to understand the aspect of the nectar devotion, because what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give is Krishna. Krishna's beauty, Krishna's Venu Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Lila Madhuri. These four Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri. These four Madhuri, how to dive into and relish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty. And the way he is distributing, he did not just come to distribute. He says, Prema Rasa Nitya Sri Asadam, Agamata Bhakti Bhutti Bhavati Bhutti. Rasika Sagara Krishna Parama Karu, Eti Vriti Vichara. The desire that came in Krishna from two reasons. He said the population in the material world, they are deprived. Yes, I went there to display, but I did not think nobody really you know, when Lord Krishna went to Vrindavan, he did not even find Radha Krishna. They had a, what's the name? Gauri Petra Talakar, like a slang way to say little horn of white clean water, and there is a little horn with a black one. That's all that is Mahaprabhu saw. It's all pedigree. So Mahaprabhu was Krishna and Radha and combined. He sat down there. He was very big. Then Bhagavad Gita and all come. He was very Mahaprabhu was a beautiful teacher. So they attracted. So tell me about this pedigree place. Same Krishna. Cannot even find where he displayed demonstrated. Then so many people, There is a book written about this, that how Akbar, he was the emperor of India at that time. He also was passing by to Radhapur and Sanapur, and he rested there. But there is no idea, he has no idea that this is the highest worshipable object. Arata Bhagavan Brajesha Tamaya Tat Dhamma in Dharma. That Vajananda is the highest object of worship, so is his holy Dharma. Both. Arata means object of worship. Arata Bhagavan Brajesha Tamaya Tat Dhamma in Dharma. Both are ultimate object of worship. So there Akbar, he sat down and he asked the villagers to gather some water. He had thousands and thousands of soldiers, you know, ministers. They all need water. So this one Bhajavashi said, we drink from the Gorukunda. Gorukunda means where water is very clean. So then Akbar, the emperor, he says, No, I mean big amount of water, I mean thousands of soldiers, ministers, ditch. What is a ditch? It's not even a well, it's like a little ditch. No, the villager says, entire Brajavasi, entire this village, drink and every day take water, take bath, nothing happened, it never. Thakur didn't believe it, but he had some faith on the Hindu concept. That's why Bilbal was there, one of the main ministers. And Akbar asked to check it out, that they got the water in a pot. Very clean water. So oh, very nice. But after he finished, he said, no, you drink more. No, they won't be there. So Akbar started looking at it. The pot never becomes empty. It's like very mysterious. And then, because the water, amount of water is so much, so little, apparently, but more they take the water, they started taking so many pots of water. That the pond is a big reservoir of water or small? Very popular. The ditch. So a ditch, if all these thousands of people finish drinking, it is not enough for maybe more than one. But still it is full. It never went even one hair amount left. Akbar was mysteriously inquired. What is the mystery about this ditch? It's been going on, but nobody. So Mahaprabhu, after hearing so many pastimes of the villagers saying, then he was in a great separation feeling that somebody has to dig this out and reveal this what I did. So that's why these 14 causes, six personal heroes, Goswami. Or you can say four special instruction Mahaprabhu has for each of the six Goswami. One is the Lukta Tirtha Udhara. They have to excavate the lost sites of the holy places. And then next one is they have to install the deity, and they have to write books how to worship the holy name, deity, and how to behave, and how was the etiquette, what is the ultimate goal. And also they establish the worship and parikrama and everything started. Even Jiva Goswami Pak's time, Raghava Pandit, he was reputed too of Srinivas Acharya. They went on there. You know, those days parikrama, you just came to Vrindavan. Those days parikrama, did you hear about Raghava Pandit parikrama? He was the first parikrama. When he would do parikrama, well, nobody knew anything. But you know, Raghava Pandit, Gopi girls, Sattva, they know everything about it, in that sense. But as Mahaprabhu's association, going around. So each place they went, and he would tell the story, what happened. And they would be so absorbed, they started seeing things. They started seeing things. So jubilant. And after finished the Vrindavan Parikrama, they decided, we are going to stay here for the rest of our life. Then Guru Sumpa just called them and said, let me tell you. Depression is the highest bliss, now you will get depression state. Guru Gosempa says, so, what is our plan to distribute Mahaprabhu? We are going, they answer, we are going to stay in Vrindavan. And everything will be fulfilled. So now, we are going to get out of Vrindavan and distribute Vrindavan confession to that. But in ecstasy, that separation feeling, if you look at even Lord Kamdas Thakur, how did he meet Rupa Goswami Pad, Sanatana Goswami Pad? Did they meet with Lord Kamdas Thakur? Yes and no. But so Rupa Goswami Pad and Sanatana Goswami Pad left this world when Lord Kamdas Thakur was coming to Vrindavan. But in the separation, he was so desperate that day he was crying and crying and crying and crying. And Rupa Sanatan just appeared to him. It's like a more mystery to play in separation. In separation, relishment is always higher and higher and higher. But in the beginning, just think, in separation, actually they see more Krishna than when they meet Krishna alone. In 21. That's the fact. Because as a real well-wisher, you want union, yes or no?
Cannot hear.
Which one you want? If you love Radha Krishna very intimately, do you want them to have a union or separation? Which one? Union. That is natural, yes? But without separation, union cannot be held. So this is a little puzzle. So what causes separation? What causes separation? Attachment. Attachment. If we don't develop maya shakta mana partha jogam junjam madasya asamsayas. If you want to, undoubtedly, if you want to know Krishna completely, Krishna did not say do sadhan bhakti only. He says develop attachment. Maya asakta. Maya asakta means become attached to me, Krishna says. Maya asakta manapartha. Oh Arjuna, you become attached to me through your mind. Maya asakta manapartha jogam jo. And you link with me and just meditate, be absorbed. This is, then you can know completely. If you want to understand completely, Krishna says you have to be attached. By asakta. Asakta means you are not, your senses are not going anywhere. They're stuck because it is connected with unlimited now. He says that when you actually connect to Krishna, Chetaso Prangana Sangini Param Vijayate, at that time, the heart, Chetaso Prangana, it's like a courtyard. You are so absorbed to Krishna, at that time, the intelligent, because intelligent is like a driver, and the rein is the mind, and five senses are the, five horses are the senses, and the horses are controlled by the rein, and the driver is holding the rein. Yes? And you are in the passenger seat. What is that? Vidhim par, Saradim Vidhim. That, Buddhim to Saradim Vidhim. Buddhi is the Sarati. You are in the passenger seat and Buddhi, the intelligent, is the driver. So, at that time, when the Buddhi, intelligent, is captured by the heart feeling for Krishna due to attachment, that time the intelligence will tell the mind, shut down the karma factor. Then the separate existence will be clarified from Krishna. So, but mind will not surrender. Mind will not surrender. So what the Buddha will tell in an argumentative way, he will arrest the mind and say, you shut down the karma factory. Then the mind will say, but all this life, I figured it out how to make this soul happy. Why I have to shut down? He says, your calculation of this way happy, that way happy, this way happy is limited. Now the living being is connected with unlimited. So unlimited happiness cannot be calculated by your limited. So therefore, at that time, mind will be arrested by the intelligence and everything becomes horrible. It's peaceful. No more mind disturbed, no more karma reaction. Tabat karma nikil bhanti. Up to that, you have to do good for karma. But when you come to that point, Ashok Prasad Krishna, that time everything is over. So how do you become Ashok? By understanding this little puzzle you are there. Believe me, you read these 10 times, you hear this lecture, it's also recorded. You hear it and look at it, think about it, chant, walk. You will grasp it so much because there was a time I had no interest. I had no interest. I'll just chant and read Chaitanya Chaitanya. I don't know. Too much. But it is, you know, it is hard to open the jar because the lid is tight. But unfortunately, you may face in life, those who have come to Krishna consciousness, they were serious, but did not open the jar of the bottle, Prabhupada says, and they did not taste it. Those are kanishtha, they are called kanishtha, newfound. Those who open the jar and taste it and distribute it, they are called intermediate. Those who are so much seeing this, that it drowned. You know, you saw some ants sometimes get drowned in the honey bottle. You cannot, don't know how to come out. They are called first class devotees. They are so stuck in Krishna consciousness, they don't know how to come out. They will never come out. So we need to either get, at least open the jar. When you open the jar of Krishna consciousness, then you cannot go back. You will not go back. No chance, Prabhupada said, no chance. In 9.3 Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, Prabhupada said, does not go back. And when you drown into actually, you are like in the bliss, three-way, Prabhupada says. Either you are swimming or drowning or floating. Prabhupada said, three-way. So for them, there is no. But until then, you know, a lot of devotees comes to Krishna consciousness, they become serious, but they never knew how to open this jar and taste it. And they get very excited. That time they distribute, taste it and distribute. It's very nice. Until we do that, there is a chance of going back. Not only going back, also frustration. I didn't get anything. I mean, seriously, I'm talking. Last week, I said, you know, now we'll have a holy name festival, we should be absorbed in chanting and hearing and part of it. And tomorrow night we'll be here in the temple. Holy name festival. We should be part of it. But main thing also, our life, personal devotion, devote. One son is usually saying, I don't know, that sounds like sending a got to be a pretend rock star. Pretend rock star. No, I was trying, I didn't get anything. I said, well, in a honey bottle it looks pretty. I mean, a honey bottle is not a, yeah, the idea, you know the idea. What is the honey bottle? The idea. But I haven't tasted. But you have a stare at the honey bottle. It's a honey bottle. See, I know for sure. Yes? Well, we not the taste of the honey bottle. You never tasted what the taste is. When you stare at the honey bottle, what the conclusion? Eventually you will be frustrated. It doesn't satisfy us. So, I request whoever is listening online, please pay attention, hear those lectures. Again and again, Prabhu putting so nicely in this format, you know, and going through the slide. It's necessary. In the beginning, maybe not enough, because opening the jar is not easy. So once you start opening, finally it's open, all of a sudden you feel one thing. That's a very big block of money.
So, this microphone really means that's all the way. So I was saying that anytime you have a relationship, there is sorrow. There is sorrow in the meeting and there is sorrow in separation. The sorrow in meeting is that we are going to be separated at some point. The sorrow in separation, of course, is that we are not meeting. So thus it is said, adrishte darshanotkantha drishte vichedabhirita narishtena nadrishtena bhavata labhite sukham. If I do not see you, then I am filled with longing. See, I don't know what to do. Now it's working. If I do not see you, then I am filled with longing. To see you, if I do not see you, then I am filled with longing to see you, and when I do see you, I am filled with fear of separation. Thus, both on not seeing you and on seeing you, I do not attain happiness. So now Rupa Goswami is, let's see where we are, I kind of lost track. He is going to do a review. We're going to do a review of everything we have learned so far.
We can read together?
Well, I think there's a lot to read here. This one. The primary and secondary vrittis produce vibhavas, anubhavas, sattvika bhavas, and vyabhichari bhavas through hearing, experiencing, or remembering Krishna. All of these combine to become rasa and the devotees. So we have looked at this, these concepts. Before, so we've looked at vibhavas, yanubhava, sattvika bhava, vibhichari bhava, and Rupa Goswami is bringing it all together now in this chapter. At the end of this chapter, he's saying that it is the primary, the sthayi bhava, and the secondary ratis also. These produce these things, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vibhichari bhava, through the processes of hearing, experiencing, or remembering Krishna. All of these combine to become rasa. So he's going to make the transition into rasa, and next time, if we finish today, we'll look at Bhakti Rasa, which is the northern section, which is the last part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's kind of the payoff part. So these combine to become rasa, all of these mix together. As yogurt becomes tasty by mixing with the particular ingredients of sugar and pepper, the two types of rati become rasa. The two types are the primary and the secondary. They become rasa by combination with vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vyabhichari bhava. Thus, through that rasa, the devotees directly experience an astonishing deep bliss arising from realization of Krishna and related things to Krishna. Though the ratis and the elements starting with vibhava become one entity, in the state of rasa, there is still awareness of their difference because of their original separate identities. First, the ingredients have these distinct forms, but when they mix and attain the form of rasa, they assume oneness. However, when pepper and sugar are mixed together in a drink, one can still recognize pepper and sugar. Similarly, in rasa, though vibhava, anubhava, vichari bhava, sattvika bhava, they become one entity in rasa, they can still be recognized in a subtle form. Krishna and his, so this is just review. Krishna and his devotee, we have seen all these concepts before, we're just going through them again.
In Vrindavan, they don't separate. Even the paper and sugar, you can think of lemonade, you can have an idea what is lemon, what is sugar, what is water, separately. Yeah? But in Vrindavan, they don't separate. Nobody knows how to separate. Neither they think. It is for us to understand this. The conception is for us.
So, Krishna and his devotees act as the causes of rati, sthai bhava. So, this means that the sthai bhava is between Krishna and the devotee in whatever form. So, if it is parental affection, then Krishna is a child, small child, and the devotee is a parent, or in a role of a parent, like an aunt or something. Spontaneous actions such as paralysis are the sattvika bhava. Actions involving intellect are the anubhavas. These are the effects of this relationship. So there is first comes the relationship, the sthai bhava. Then come all these other things. Self-deprecation and other minor emotions, these are the vyabhichari bhavas. There are 33 vyabhichari bhavas, nirveda, remorse, self-disgust, depression, despair, so on. These are the accompanying factors. So all these are actually effects of this relationship between Krishna and the devotee. Now, Rupa Goswami is concluding by defining these things again. He is going to define what vibhava is, what anubhava is, what vyabhichari bhava is. I'll read the Sanskrit here because these are one-line definitions of these concepts. Pratestu tattat asvada visheshayati yogyatam vibhavayanti kurvanti iti ukta dhire vibhavakaha. So the translation is, those conditions which cause vibhava, which cause, and in parenthesis, vibhavayanti, rati, to become very suitable for relishing particular tastes are called vibhava by the wise. So, the vibhava is that thing which makes rati suitable for tasting. So, if you recall, vibhava has these different components, alamban, uddipan. So, the support. Krishna's form is one aspect of vibhava. The devotee is another aspect of vibhava. Shelter and object of love. So this is the vibhava. This is vibhava. Then tamcha anubhavayanti antastanvanti asvada nirbharam iti ukta anubhavaste katakshadyah sa sattvika. So those elements such as glancing, kataksha, sidelong glances, etc., accompanied by sattvika bhavas, which produce fullness of the rati produced by the vibhava. In other words, which spread within the mind an additional relish, anu, additional relish, anubhavayanti. These are anubhavas. Those mental conditions, sancharayanti vaichitrim, nayante tam tatha vibham ye nirvedadayo bhavaste tu sancharino mata. Those mental conditions such as self-deprecation, which produce further variety, and of course this is induced by the vibhavas, and these are made more enjoyable by the anubhavas, these are called sanchari bhavas or vyabhichari bhavas. So these are the one-line definitions. You know, if you wanted to give an exam in the nectar of devotion, define vyabhichari bhava, then you would say the Sanskrit, or define anubhava, you would say the Sanskrit. So, now Rupa Goswami is again reminding us that this is not an ordinary discussion of mundane emotions. And it's very interesting that he cites this verse from the Mahabharata. So Rupa Goswami writes, the ancient authorities have given the following statement from Mahabharata as an example to show that Rati, which is the manifestation of the Ladini Shakti, beyond the conceivable, deriding even liberation and giving joy to the Lord Himself, should not be defiled by material logic. So Rati, all these things are beyond material calculations, logic. Anybody want to guess which verse this is from the Mahabharata? Prabhupada used to cite this all the time, but in a very different context. So this verse is, Achintya khalu ye bhava natam sarkena yojayet. This is, or maybe Prabhupada didn't cite this, maybe I'm misremembering. But I have seen this verse. He did quote this, yes, okay. So the Mahabharata Udyama Parama says, one should not analyze the inconceivable bhava. Achintya khalu ye bhava. Inconceivable, achintya, emotions. One should not analyze them by tarka, by material logic. Those bhavas which are beyond the material realm are said to be inconceivable. Prakritibhya param yatcha tad achintyasya lakshanam. Inconceivable means what? That which is beyond this prakriti, this material world. That's inconceivable. Things in the material world are also inconceivable to some extent. But beyond the material realm, whatever exists is inconceivable to the mind, to our mind, because our mind is material. Our intelligence is material. So, our mind and intelligence being material cannot process inconceivable, process spiritual topics very well. And that's why a lot of them will remain inconceivable to us. So, now Rupa Goswami, I mentioned this concept before, he is explaining how the sthayi bhava is nourished and increase, the bliss of the sthayi bhava increases, deepens, becomes thicker because of the fact that vibhava, anubhava, vichari bhava exist. So he writes, Rati making Krishna and other things into vibhava clearly increases itself by these things. It is similar to the ocean, which nourishing the clouds by its water, nourishes itself by rain coming from the clouds. So the sthayi bhava is making the clouds of the vibhava, anubhava, vivichari bhava. And these in turn nourish the sthayi bhava. This is the idea. Recycle. But unlike recycle, where the amount of water is fixed, when the recycle occurs with sthayi bhava, the bliss continues to increase. So there is a difference between the material analogy and the spiritual analogy. Right? I mean, the ocean, the water is coming from the ocean, so it's not going to increase. But in the case of Rati, when the vibhava and anubhava they interact, they increase the bliss in the sthayi bhava. That increases the vibhava and anubhava. That increases the sthayi bhava and continues endlessly, infinitely. So Rati reveals Krishna and things related to him as the shelter of qualities. This is what the sthayi bhava does. Who is Krishna for me in my unique relationship? What are his qualities? What does he look like? Sweetness, etc. And then when the experience of Krishna happens that way, then that increases the Rati even more. Because Rati and the other elements mutually reveal each other in this way, it is always seen that the sthayi bhava, the vibhava, the anubhava, sattvika bhava and vyabhichari bhava assist each other. Since the activities of rasa are by nature non-material, again Rupa Goswami wants us to remember this, they are difficult to understand. The various ratis and other elements create a complete identity between the emotions of the contemporary devotee with previous devotees depicted in scripture. So now he's going on, Rupa Goswami is doing a slight detour and explaining that the experiences that we ought to get in the stage of bhava when the rati descends should be identical with devotees in the spiritual world, corresponding devotees. So if we are in the dasya bhava, then our emotions should be similar to Prahlad Maharaj. If we are in parental affection, our emotions will be similar to Yashoda or Nanda Baba. If we are in sakya, similar to Sri Rama, etc. So the various ratis create a complete identity between the emotions of us with the previous devotees mentioned in scripture. Rati for Krishna is most uncommon, unfortunately. This is, or fortunately, I don't know. But this is one of the characteristics of bhava, sudurlabha, extremely rare. Even if we perform our sadhana bhakti perfectly, and we do not commit any offenses to devotees, still Krishna may not give us rati, because he is independent, swarad. And that's why bhava or rati is, like Prabhu was saying, we cannot force the name to manifest. So bhava is uncommon. And it is more blissful. Rati for, so now Rupa Goswami is establishing Krishna's specialty, as Prabhu spent some time discussing. He's going to do this now. Rati for Krishna is most uncommon. It is more blissful than the most blissful rati for the avatars. And it attains the highest rasa in combination with his devotee. So as far as rasa is concerned, it's highest. And that rati, which has the son of Nanda as the object, reaches the height of most intense bliss. So Vrajendra Nandana, that is that form of Krishna, is the highest bliss of all known gradations of bliss from all the different avatars. Then Rupa Goswami comes back to this point of the inconceivability of rasa, and also the fact that it is Ladini Shakti. So rati, etc. are not different from the Ladini Shakti, this vibhava, anubhava, vicharibhava. So because of this, the rasa, the experience, the bliss that comes from the experience of this is self-revealing, and it consists only of rasa. Self-revealing means that we cannot force it to appear. We cannot artificially force ourselves to experience rasa, bhakti rasa. Only when bhakti, the Ladini Shakti agrees to descend into us, then we can get this. Otherwise not. It doesn't mean we don't stop chanting or stop singing. Because,
like example, like a gardener. Gardener, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata. Tate Guru Bhaje Kore Krishna Sevan Maya Jaya Chute Paya Krishna Chala. We have to do our job that Savan Kirtan Jale Karaya Sechan. We have to hear and chant and discuss this topic, Krishna Katha. It's compared to watering the plant. Why Mahaprabhu gave that example is very, very profound, very nice example, a very good example that Mahaprabhu says, when you put a fertilizer, and then water and sunlight to a plant, and you put a little fence around, means, as Prabhu says, means no aparad. Fencing means no aparad. Do you do anything to pull the twigs out from the plant, or even beginning sprouting? Do you have to pull it out from the plant? Do you forcefully bring the flower out, fruits out? How they come? Their own. Without your aware. Only when they come, you are aware. Oh, there is a new sprout, you know, something. But what we do, so that's why this point is very nice, that we water, we make sure the sunlight is there, We do our sadhana, but as per the mercy that will come, you cannot force, in a sense that like you water the plant, and then automatically is the nature of the bhakti lata that to open, to sprout, Kleshagni, Subhada, all these six symptoms, it's naturally. That means that for the mercy, we don't have to endeavor separately. We don't have to endeavor separately. We should endeavor for our following the instruction, sadhana bhakti. Good example, like you are doing Guru Puja, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. So you are doing Guru Puja, everybody see you picked up the flower plate and you offer it, follow. Or say lamp. Everybody see four times around the plate. Two times around the belly, three times around the face, clockwise, not counterclockwise. And then you go seven times around the body. Okay. So everybody, maybe some people counts, I don't think anybody counts, but still. So some people are, okay, that's what the pujari did, whoever did that. But anybody saw what was the mentality of that pujari had all this time he was offering the lamp? You can count, he goes, not, he's not counting, I hope not. Of course, the rules is there, you go four times. Four times, two times, and three times, and then seven times. So you may say, well, let me see. Then one, twice, three, four. Okay. And well, now he's doing the other one. Three, four. He's supposed to do two, but he went three. You're chanting, but you're counting like a weather externally. But we don't see what that devotee is feeling, experiencing emotionally, attachment towards Prabhupada, how his intention moved. Now, if he does not show any symptom internally, just doing out externally, that's all right too, but it's not best. Because arati, you know, the verbal root, it's complete attachment. Rati is like attachment. It's the same spelling, rati. Arati. Complete attachment to object of worship, then when you offer things, that's called arati. So, you are offering, but the attachment has to come with the feeling, with the conscious choice, not just the article. Externally. Article is also good if somebody doesn't have, but slowly, slowly, eventually they should. So my point is, nobody sees when the feeling, what the feeling of the pujari. Do you have to develop the idea of getting feeling? Yes? No? You have to eat the ice cream in the mouth and so make sure you taste it. You're supposed to experience some sweet. No, but do you have to train or no? Huh? Automatically. Yes. Automatically. This is a very fundamental understanding should be there. That mercy comes by their own nature. But when it comes, you will experience, you do not have to endeavor separately to get that mercy. You do not have to endeavor separately to have that experience. This is the difference between Sahaji and others, and us. That they have no connection, so they try to artificially. Even in Bengal, they say sometimes speaker, if he is not so good, but he has a well-trained, sometimes he carries little chili powder. And then he sees, he's going to tell a nice story, but the audience is feeling little, but they are not feeling more. So he put the chili powder, you know, it goes like this, you know, sweat or something, and then actually chili like affects his tears, and the tears start coming, the people start. And then some chili powder goes here, there, sometimes. And people start rolling on the ground, crying. This is forcing something to happen. But not inside what's happening. That's big difference. But here, when we literally endeavor our sadhana, atha cittam samadhatu na sukhasi maistiram. If you haven't got this ecstatic feeling, the previous verse says, mayi eva mana adhasta, mayi buddhi nivesha. If you cannot fix your buddhi, engage your bhakti, and absorb your mind in me, then you do practice. Ata cetam samadhatu na sukna sthiram. Abhasa. Then you practice. Krishna suggested you practice. Why? If you practice, prapasi dhananjaya. Ichchaptum dhananjaya. That you will develop a desire to get, to obtain. If you practice. So automatically that you may say that then when we practice, so we have to develop a desire. For the conscious choice is you develop a desire. But when the Lord actually manifests His mercy, you will experience automatically. You don't have to do separately endeavoring without your sorrow. That's the point. There's no need to artificially. A good example of good. That there was the one Babaji, he was nearby and he was making same kind of constant chanting like Gaur Krishnadas Babaji. So chanting. So there are a lot of villagers, they say, Baba, Babaji also making like you at once, all the time chanting. So Guru Krishnadas Babaji was blind that time. So he called. So call him, tell him to come. So he asked him. Even though he's externally blind, but internally he sees everything what's going on. He said, he gave example. If a lady didn't get married, did not serve the husband, and so did not meet a man or a husband, but she wants to have a child. But she thinks that, I don't care, I'll go to maternity house or, you know, the birth giving center, and I'll try to make all the noise to push out the baby from my tummy. So if that mother goes to the maternity house, you know, those midwife birth giving center, and then she's making sound of giving birth, what will come out? Huh? Nothing. He said, you have to be impregnated with Swarup Shakti. If you are not pregnant, if the lady is not serving the husband, not married, and think like she will just have a child, I just will give birth without being pregnant. What you will give? Nothing. So, what does that mean? He said, by chanting, you don't have a relationship. You don't serve Vaishnavas. You only think that the holy name is God and that's all I need, and you don't care Vaishnavas, you don't have a relationship established, and you're just chanting. You are forcing yourself to make something happen. Will it happen? I'm scared. I got scared too when I was. You achieve in the only four walls around you. That's all you got. That's all you achieve. Nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. You have no relationship, you're not getting pregnant with Swarup Shakti. You only look in a four wall where you're chanting. You know, four walls means you can move. So therefore, give up this idea, be initiated. Get the mercy of Vaishnavas and serve the Vaishnavas while chanting Hare Krishna. If you want to have a positive effect. But he didn't give up. He kept on chanting, pretending like he's going to keep the system. Then after a few weeks they come again. Baba, he's still going on, like you, chanting all the time. He's not chanting, he's thinking what will happen around these four walls. Well, sure enough, one day, one lady came, and she came to offer some food and some money to that Babaji. They said, "Baba, give me chance to serve you every day." So he didn't say anything, because he's not getting enough food and other. He's already starving and feeling sick, even though he's pretending. But there's no spiritual energy, he took shelter. Material energy cannot produce spiritual energy. Not possible. Material energy cannot keep on going in spiritual practice. You have to surrender. You have to invoke that I want to do it by the under guidance. Then the spiritual energy within this body to take over you and keep on going. With the material energy, not possible to get up every day and do all this. Not possible. And this is proven. So after a little while, this lady started serving. Then he took her and he left also. He went back home where he comes from. So then all were surprised. They all came to go to Sugar Baba. "Baba, you are right. He left everything and he went back to his home." He said he was never in spiritual world. He never came to do bhajan. He was trying to beat the system artificially. You cannot beat the system. This spiritual energy cannot be artificially manifested by our own, tremendous endeavor or whatever we call astral. Not possible. Not possible. If you look at Prabhupada's function, like he arrived in Fiji, middle of the night, his flight. First time he met this Vasudev Prabhu, one Indian rich man, they hosted Prabhupada. First time. And first darshan, he says, "So, are you chanting?" This is the first darshan. Welcoming Prabhupada. He said, "No." He said, "You should start chanting 16 rounds every day." That was the first instruction. And he's still alive. He's still chanting 16 rounds every day. That was such a profound. So Prabhupada had a nice feast his wife made. Indian, Gujarati descendant. They live in Fiji. Fijian. Then after Prabhupada took prasadam, he took full meal in the middle of the night. By the time they finished, it was 1 o'clock. Then he went to bed around 2 o'clock. 4 o'clock he got up. And he told Madhuvisa Maharaj and others, "You are a sannyasi, why are you sleeping that long? I'm up, I'm a sannyasi, you should get up." "Prabhupada, I just went to sleep like 2 hours or something." He said, "You want to be under spiritual energy or material energy?" Now think for a moment. Was Prabhupada practical or not practical? It's very, you follow. I have to have a desire to be under spiritual guidance. That strong desire, when we push ourselves, then spiritual energy will start intervening. Otherwise, spiritual energy will not come. Material energy will tire. Cannot be excited. Utsaha, enthusiasm is the life of faith. Where the faith will continue? Spiritual energy has to intervene us. It is not something foreign that we cannot reach now in our life. Now. But we have to have a strong desire. That's all we need. Strong desire to be guided. When you are malleable, then spiritual energy intervenes. That time you will feel strong energy. Prabhupada only slept 2 hours. He's fresh. Went for a walk. Not everybody could join to see the Fiji. And then he comes back. He started speaking about Harikatha and went on. We need to believe that. And it's fact. Now you may say, "Well, Maharaj could not keep it up, Could he do something there?" When Prabhupada says, "You should get up and be under spiritual energy, not material. Could he do something instead of going to sleep?" We have a logic. Prabhupada also says, "You should have a 6 hour sleep. Do it there." That's true, but not for sannyasi. You are a family man, you have to sleep 6 hours, you have to work on it. But sannyasi, they should conquer. Sannyasi's house is, where is sannyasi's house? The sky is the roof, so is the house. This is their house. Sky is the roof, Prabhupada says. That means they should not be looking for a bedding or anything. Anywhere they finish the preaching, they can rest, get a little later, get up and preach again. That's otherwise don't. Sannyasi Prabhupada was like this. He was such a dedicated. If that Maharaj actually fell at the feet of Prabhupada and said, please make me strong like you. Possible. But he did a lot of service, there is no question, nothing is lost. But he could not maintain, eventually he deviatedly maintained that again. So point is that if we just strongly want spiritual energy to intervene in our life, we have to be humble and submit ourselves. Yes, please, please, please. We have to go through some mana prasadat sammatam maunam atma bhuni. Mana prasadat. Satisfaction of the mind coming from where? Austerity. Tapa. Austerity means we have to consciously decide we want to chant. Then chanting will be easy and you will start tasting it. If you feel like duty, oh gosh, I 8 more rounds. The round also becomes very heavy. It's a fact. So we should feel to be under guidance of spiritual energy. In spiritual energy will intervene in our life. We have to submit. Surrender is required. Why paying obeisances is required? Manmana bhavamad bhaktamad jadinam manasya. Why? Why do we have to pay obeisances? Because when we pay obeisances, mam namaskuru, namaskuru means you actually submit, you respect the Lord by shastanga dandavat or folded your hand. Why? Because false ego only exists in you if you do not want to bow down. When you bow down, false ego start disappearing from you. When you start hearing about Krishna Katha, machitta sarva durganam, mat prasadat tarishyasi, atocheta ahankara, nasusushi binakshasi. In 18th chapter, Krishna says also, machitta sarva durganam. If you have a struggle, whatever happens, difficulty, Krishna knows you will have a difficulty. He says, sarva durga, durga means difficult. Difficult to overcome. But if you focus on Him and depend on Him, then He will allow you to pass. What happened when you struggling and praying to Krishna and hearing about Krishna? What happened? False ego disappear. And if you don't want to hear, if you don't want to pay attention, then ahankara is there. False ego will not let you go. So something has to come from us every day, consciously, consciously we have to be alive every day. We're going to see how far we were, how many left, all right. So we're going to see, tabla. Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Turvishya Kipa Sindh Bhai Vachan Patita Nampa Vani Bhu Vishnu Vishnu Namo Namo Hare Krishna